warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles. Dave, you gave a talk. How'd it go?
It went good. Yeah, I was really happy with it. It was a great crowd.
It was in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
Which is only, like, for those who aren't around, it's about like an hour and a half.
About an hour and a half south
of Tulsa.
Yeah, in the very middle of the state, mm-hmm. whereas Tulsa, we're in the northeast corner. Mm-hmm. Really, really great conference. Highly recommend going to it next year. This is only the second year they've had it, and they had 1,300 people. Mm. Dr. Edward Sree was the headliner. He's fantastic. You never heard him talk.
He's going to be in Tulsa. Should. In just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, for the hour, for Tulsa's, yeah. It's like, I don't know if that was, if we're like working together on it or what, but...
There's no way we were.
I don't think so either.
No.
Yeah. I think it's a coincidence.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, so I was just doing one of the breakout sessions, but I had, I don't know, 200, 250 people in my
breakout?
In my breakout session.
Who'd you have to go up against?
I don't remember.
That's always like the question. Like with breakout sessions, it's like I had a breakout session once, and it was I had to give a talk, and I was up against like Trent Horn.
Yeah, nobody's coming.
Yeah, it's like, why do you even have me here? You know, like I think Trent Horn.
And I'll show up and take the money,
but. Right? Yeah, but it's like I could have given this talk to my mom without you having to pay me. Right. You know. Like, it's like,
and she left halfway through. Yeah.
So yeah, it's always like when you have to give a talk and it's like the breakout talk and not the keynote talks. You know, like you know, it's like, man, if I have to go up against two other heavy hitters,
I was not going up against Dr. Sree.
That's good.
He was sometimes the main dude is also doing mm-hmm. a breakout session, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and so I wasn't having to do that. That was a relief.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been a much different crowd.
Yeah. Smaller.
Yeah. But we had a great crowd today. Great crowd. They laughed at my jokes.
They did?
Yeah.
Good. I paid them all to do so.
Well, there was a lady who came up to me afterwards. She's like, I don't know if you remember me, but I met you at this other conference and you told me you were going to be here and that I had to come and laugh at your jokes. And so I was here and I did laugh at your jokes. And I was like, thank you.
I didn't know that worked so well.
Right. You are just lovely.
So tonight, we went to there's a non-diocesan priest who's leaving our diocese.
It's a blow. Oh, man, it's a blow.
It's a blow. He's a phenomenal priest. We went to his going away party. We were invited. We're not parishioners there, but we do attend every once in a while, and mm-hmm. We have a lot of... Our families have good connections with the parishioners there, yeah, and with the priest. And there was, so it was really moving to see how many people were there from so many different parts of Tulsa. Because like if it's a diocesan priest, you know, he makes his way around, he gets moved around. And so
he's been the pastor many people?
Yeah, exactly. This priest,
like maybe 90% of the Tulsa area.
It's like, oh, I was in Stillwater for a little while. I was in, you know, Tulsa. I went to Bixby. I went to, right, you know, I went to all these other, you know, and so you kind of, you're a pastor of a lot of different people.
Yeah.
But this priest has been the pastor of this church for 12 years, and he actually came to shut the parish down.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so it's a fraternity parish here in town.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't, like you said, over a decade ago, it wasn't just thriving the way that the fraternity wanted. So they sent him because, you know, Father, he's, can we say his name? You didn't say his name.
I don't know. I was just going to play it safe.
I think we can say his name. Father Define, he's awesome because we're talking about how great he is. He's just, man, what a pastor. With like, he's just a joyful dude. And he's just so kind. His kindness just is, he will smother you with it. But so anyway, he came to shut it down, and instead, like, it exploded under his
He told us, like, when he first got there, there was a total of 70 people who attended the first Sunday masses when he first got there. And there's 700 now.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a kind of a small church building.
Yeah, and it's packed.
And it's, yeah, man.
But one of the things that, so there was multiple men who got up to kind of give a testimony or, you know, give a thanks to Father. And a thread that was, that you could just go through all the talks was he was a man, he was like a priest. He is a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And that he really cared about bringing the sacraments to the to his people.
Definitely. Oh, there's no doubt about
and,
that.
And he went way above and beyond to bring the sacraments to the people. Like the hours in confession for opening up confession, during COVID was a really weird time, right? You know, where like everything got shut down.
Right.
And instead he opened up confession for 4 hours on Sunday and 2 hours every day because he wasn't allowed to say a public mass. So under obedience, he didn't do it, but he did have confession every single day. And like, he's so thoughtful about like what's happening about with people around, even with me, like, you know, Luke just had his accident. Father Define called me and said like, and this was at, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night. Maybe 10:30. Said, "Hey, I just found out something happened to Luke. Do you want me to come by and give anointing of the sick to him? I'll come by right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to put my contacts in and get in the car, and I'll be there." He's not my pastor. He's not like
close to you. Either.
He's not close. Like he has no obligation, so to speak.
Sure. Oh no, not at all. Yeah, and I feel the same way about him. There are times where I'll meet him and it's like, he'll say, "Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I was thinking about you and blah," and like, "Hey, here's the thing." And it's like, he'll tell me something. It's like, it's very touching because he's not my pastor. Right. Mm-hmm. And I love to see him, but I don't see him that often. And like that he just is that kind of guy.
He really is.
We'll miss him, but he's getting promoted, right? He's not just like I don't have a total grasp on the hierarchy of the fraternity.
Yeah, he's basically like a vicar for priests.
He's assisting somebody.
He's becoming one of the main vicar priests is what I was told. Anyway, I just wanted to
hopefully when he retires, he'll come back. I want him to come back.
Yeah, that'd be great. I just wanted to say that because I know that there are priests that listen to our show, and I know a lot of times it feels like it's a thankless job, or that the phone call or the text or whatever it is it goes unnoticed. I know there was other priests who texted me and stuff during the chaos, and I didn't even get back to them. You know, I felt terrible about it. Like afterwards, I was like, "Hey, I'm really sorry I didn't get back to you." But
you mean when Luke got hurt?
Yeah, when
that
Luke got
chaos.
Hurt. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you were still talking about COVID.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
But it matters and it makes an impact.
It definitely does. Yeah. Totally.
So what are we drinking this evening?
Man, we're drinking. It's called Walking Through a Spice Market. And it is kind of like walking through a spice market. So Scotch Malt Whiskey Society here.
Still not sponsoring us.
It's from Ben Nevis is the distiller.
Never even heard of this.
I haven't either.
Is it an old distillery that has been shut down?
I don't believe so.
it's in production currently?
Well, I actually don't know.
Okay.
But when I looked it up, sometimes they'll have an asterisk mm-hmm. by it, you know, if it's no longer in production. It didn't say anything. So as far as I know, they're still producing. But so this one was finished in Oloroso barrels. So it does kind of have a little, you can tell by the color, mm-hmm. right? It's got a darker color. And it kind of has like a, it mentions it in the tasting notes, there is a little bit of chai finish to it, which is interesting.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a Dalmore Highland Scotch mixed with an Amroot whiskey.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because it has that Oloroso, like, Highland whiskey taste that Dalmore has. And it's very rich. It's robust. It's mm-hmm. it's strong. But then it has the spiciness of, like, the Amroot.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
It really is, yeah. More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. So after we do the show, you were mentioning something about, like...
I need you to help clip my chicken wings.
Live ones. Not like the ones... No. Not ones that you're going to cook.
Correct. I mean, I don't know. I might cook them.
Someday.
We need to cut their feathers. We're not going to cook the feathers.
Okay.
It's easy.
After we get done with this?
And when we're done, it's easy.
Oh, how many of them do you have?
25.
Okay.
But I'm not going to do the rooster, because it doesn't matter. You can cut their wings, but they still fly.
So should I do that with my chickens?
If you want to.
Keep them from flying?
I want to keep mine, like, more in their area, and they get out.
Is it younger better?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. All right, we'll be right back.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. Everybody's asking, and I have no idea, where in the world is Jimbo Baggins? He's not here.
He's in town.
Is he?
Yeah, we didn't actually tell him we were recording tonight.
You know what? That's on us. That is actually on us. We're doing weird things with our recording times these days.
Right. Yeah.
But still, he hasn't been here.
That's true.
And we have no idea, like, what is this the rank on the yummy scale? Nobody knows. This is important information that people need.
What we need to do is we need to get him a shirt that says, like something about the yummy scale on it, like rank.
We should do that.
We should definitely do that. Since he's not here, we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Also, he's our shipping logistics manager for all of our Patreons. I know there's been a couple patrons who've reached out to us, letting us know they have not received anything. Listen, Jim went on vacation to see his beautiful family in a different state.
Have you seen them? You know they're beautiful?
Yeah.
You've seen them? Like, personally?
Yes, okay. So have you.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking.
His children.
I'm just making sure you're not lying to everybody.
No, I'm not lying.
You know?
I wouldn't do that.
Okay, good.
And so he's playing catch up, you know, trying to get things shipped. So I know the reason why you support our show is not...
I have seen some of his family.
It's not to get, you know, all of the awesome thank you gifts that we give. You're helping to support the show. I know that thank you gifts really do help, though. So, they're coming. Don't worry. We're just not Amazon. So,
that is correct.
That's, you know, Amazon has ruined everything.
I'm glad it has.
Yeah. And help. Okay, so today we're going to talk about have very practical applications to the Beatitudes. for the family. This is not something that I've pulled. This is not something I put together, but it is something that Connor Gallagher has put together in a new book published by Tan. Tan always puts out great books.
Yep, I know. They're solid.
The book is called Well-Ordered Family. This is why I really like this book. It's something that as I was reading through it, I was like, man, I could definitely apply this. So he's a CEO of multiple businesses, father of 15.
You serious, Clark?
Yeah, 15.
Wait, he's just been married one time? Yep. He didn't he's not a widower who married somebody else who had eight kids?
Not to my knowledge, no. I think they are all his.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And he's the CEO of multiple businesses. And what he's done is he's put together practices in business that help a well-oiled machine of a business, like the functionality of a business, how do I progress and grow and thrive and get to our end goal? And he takes some of those thought processes and applies it to the family. And so there's six different aspects within the book that he talks about. And he starts out with vision. Like, what's your family vision? Unity. Are we all together, like, in this vision? Like, are we all going to buy into this vision?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Systems. How do we apply? How do we get to that, to the visions that we have? Discernment. When should we do certain things? When should we not, obviously? Yeah. Relationships. Listen, we're all in this together. How are we growing together? We can't just have the end goal of, like, being a utilitarian purpose of a family of, like, we want to be this, we're still there. And then metrics, how have we been doing? What have we been doing? Like, what has been going well? What has not been going well? Anyway, it's laid out really well in this book. It's really good. It has a lot of graphs. It has a lot of opportunities to write.
Clearly like written for with men in mind. So yes. It sounds like,
yeah, it's very good. And so, as I was reading through it, I thought, man, this section really hits hard for me, because the Beatitudes, I think, are part, they're basically kind of the layout of what the Christian life should be, right? This is what Christ talks about and lays out, like, here's what we should be doing. This is what should be our goals to do. And a lot of them are countercultural during that time, and, obviously now as well. And maybe sometimes confusing, or maybe sometimes, at least there are some of them that are like, okay, I don't know how to really live that out. I don't know what you mean. Like, I don't know what you want me to do with that today.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if we as fathers don't understand or don't contemplate and think about these things that Christ is telling us, which we should be doing. But if we have not absorbed it and consumed it and understood it, there's no way we can transmit that to our children. Right.
Correct.
So he has just one page in here talking about the family Beatitudes, and he goes through each family Beatitude, what the virtue is within that Beatitude, what the general meaning is, meaning what is it that we're doing, what does it mean, and then the family application, how do we apply this, so that we go through this, and then I would love for you to give commentary on the family application. What are your thoughts on this aspect within the family and how you could do it even within your own family?
Okay.
So the first Beatitude is blessed are the poor in spirit. So he breaks it down actually how Christ, it's kind of a 1-2 for the Beatitudes, right? There's this, the first part, the Beatitude, and then the what he calls the promise, right? So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven,
mm-hmm.
right? And so there's the promise. It's blessed are the people who do this. Here's the thing that you're going, here's the reward, right?
Yes.
So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So how would you apply that to the family? I'm not really sure. I haven't thought about that maybe well enough.
Yeah, I mean, well, right off the bat, I'm not sure what he's going to say here, but I think this is something that families in America, I think by and large, fail at all the time, because we give our kids too much. Our kids have too much stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? this is something I've heard Dr. Ray Guarendi talk a lot about, about all of these studies that show actually the fewer possessions a child has, the happier they are.
Right.
They actually have less stress and they're more generous. Like they're more likely to give away the fewer toys they have, the more likely they are to just give one to somebody, right? Mm-hmm. It's just very fascinating. It's one of those things that when you
paradoxical
like,
almost.
It's it is a little bit paradoxical, but it also just shows you the beauty of children, right? But by giving them more stuff, you put a larger burden on their shoulders, okay? That they don't need.
Now, this does not apply to men, right? Like, we should definitely have tractors and
side
by side.
Obviously, like maybe you do need a second boat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, because you need a fishing boat and then like a family boat,
right?
Because obviously you're not going to take the family on your fishing boat.
No,
I mean, don't be ridiculous.
They can mess up the trolling motor,
right? Exactly, and the kids will play in the fishing well,
right?
We can't have that.
No.
Okay. So obviously, okay. So yeah, sure.
We're talking about kids here.
This is kids,
right?
But I do think there's something. In America, I mean, I think even families who have lower income, we still do it, right? Because it's kind of the expectation that, oh, of course, your kids are going to have all these toys, right?
Right.
And it sounds harsh. It really does. And I have looked around, because sometimes I get frustrated in our own house when I see all this junk, all these toys everywhere. And then my wife, Lady Pamela, will say, all right, well, let's get rid of some. And then we go to do it, and I realize it's me. I'm the reason, because I'll say, oh, well, we can't get rid of this. I mean, they love this, you know, they love this so much and blah, blah, blah. It's like, she's like, okay, we go to that. It's like, and it's like, oh, well, this next one.
I'm the culprit. I'm the reason.
We gave that, you know, they got this from so, and so, and it's like, and she's over there looking at me like, mm-hmm. Meanwhile, she's piling stuff into a bat. So,
yeah. Yeah. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The virtue here is humility. Is what he says. And he says, the general meaning of this is humility and the recognition of our need for God's grace, that we don't need material things. We need God's grace. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, the family application here is to teach your children gratitude for what they have, prioritize services to others over material possessions, and seek spiritual growth together.
Very good.
So, yeah, I mean, this goes back to like some of the practices that we try to apply, especially like coming up into Christmas, right? Is that before we go through Christmas and all of the presents and all this stuff, we have the kids pile up things that they like, the things that they play with, you know, not just the junk toys that are broken or whatever,
yeah.
And pick out some that they will be donating to other kids.
Yeah, we do the same thing where we'll say, everybody go pick two things.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving them away.
Yeah.
I mean, knowing that, like, look, you're about to get 10. You know, so we have to do that more than once a year. But
yeah, we do too.
But it is good because it does, we tell them, you know, we're going to be donating these to, you know, so that other kids who maybe can't afford them or whatever, you know, they're going to other children. We're not just throwing them away. And it's a good lesson. And, really, the kids, it's another just beautiful thing to watch because they kind of get excited about it. You'd think that they'd be mad about having to give away some of their toys, but, you know, at least after you do it once or twice, they kind of get the hang of it, and they really do kind of appreciate it. And then it's what I really love to see is they don't pick their least favorite toys because they know they're giving them to, like, kids who need them. Mm-hmm. Kids are just so generous. They'll go and pick maybe not their favorite toy, but, you know,
one that they
play with, you know, and
yeah.
it's really touching.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also love that, you know, the importance of seeking spiritual growth together. Like, so it's not just the material aspect of, like, hey, taking these toys and we're giving them away. They're no longer going to be yours. But the spiritual growth of, like, hey, we're giving these to other people, like, to those who in need. Right, this virtue of like we're doing this together to grow in this virtue.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through the rest of these when we get back.
Hey,
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Just as a reminder, the Catholic Man Show camp out is like September 26th through the 29th. Signups will be probably made available by the time this airs. They'll be ready or almost ready.
Man, I saw several people from the camp out today.
Oh, yeah.
One guy drove in from Arkansas.
Yeah.
Just to...
TC?
Yeah, TC Long. He saw I was going to be speaking, so he drove.
Man, that was a big disappointment.
Great to see him.
What a waste of gas money. Did you give him money back? Did you give him...
I didn't.
...gas money?
I didn't. I... No.
Sorry, TC. I'm sorry.
But you can when he comes to the camp out.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right, good. Is he? He'll be there?
I told him
He can't make it this year. I was going to do it, but he can't make it this year.
I think he's planning on coming. That's.
Okay. I want him to be there.
We talked about it.
I'm not going to give you money. Okay, this is the next one.
TC, I know where he keeps his money.
The next one. Blessed are the meek. There's the beatitude, the promise, for they shall inherit the earth. Right? The virtue that he talks about here is gentleness. Blessed are the meek. You know, so like we've talked about meekness on the show before, right?
What's your definition of meekness?
I think it's like strength under control.
Yeah. It's basically David Niles.
Having the prudence to know when to exercise your authority or your powers.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah. Yeah, it's not just like, oh, I'm afraid to stand up.
And when you exercise them, you're exercising them for the good.
It's meekness is not just constantly turning the other cheek, right? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of the way it's portrayed sometimes. Often, a meek person does turn the other cheek. Until, of course, he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And when he doesn't, it's like, if you're on the other side of that, it's a bad situation for you.
Mm-hmm. So the general meaning, what he says is gentleness and non-aggressive strength, which I think is kind of on par with,
especially for boys.
Yeah, this is very hard.
We have a very strict rule, as I know you do in your house, we don't hit girls policy.
Yes.
But unfortunately for David Jr., it's a...
these are the only ones that he is around.
Yes. Yeah, it's a high target situation. Anyway, yeah. Just girls everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's still it's a frequent thing. It's we have not quite mastered that one yet.
Yeah.
But
it'll take a while.
But yeah, we have to talk about it, about how, you know, boys cannot hit girls.
Dude, there was one time where Jude almost or thought to have hit.
Well, we thought he hit Elizabeth. And
this is like years ago.
Years ago. He's
probably almost like baby Davy's age.
Yeah.
Maybe a little older, but
Who's not a baby?
He's not a baby anymore. I know. I guess I'm calling him that.
Suck.
Yeah, because he's what?
He's four.
Three, four.
He's four.
Yeah,
yeah.
Four. Yeah. Anyway, we thought
we're about to have two more babies that are younger than him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But we thought Jude hit Elizabeth, and I went up there and disciplined Jude.
Yeah, because you don't hit. I mean, it's an important lesson to learn. You know, as for boys, like, we don't hit girls. And it starts off as a very basic lesson, but that having that as a foundation for your understanding of reality,
mm-hmm.
you know, that this is just the world that is presented to you as a boy. And this is the building block that your worldview is going to be built on.
Right.
Boys don't hit girls. That will grow into, as they mature, there's a instinctual respect, right? Because the rule is not boys don't hit.
Right.
They don't hit girls. Now, obviously, you know, they can't, you know, be hitting boys either, right? Unless it's just play fight, you know, like,
right.
Obviously. But the strict rule of we don't hit girls is this, you know, is this like early shoots of meekness.
Yeah.
That... We have to be, you have power. A man has a power that a woman does not.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the man's responsibility, no matter what the woman does. Because
mm-hmm.
this is the situation with the sisters. Well, she took this from me or she pushed me. And it's like, it does not matter
right.
what she did to you. you cannot hit her.
Right.
Yeah.
That can't be the retaliation.
Right.
So let me get your thoughts on this application. So here's the family application for Blessed Are the Meek. Encourage peaceful communication, resolve conflict calmly, promote empathy and understanding, and model humility and respect for others.
I mean, I think all of those things are really, really great. The disciplining calmly, that's on you, right? So that's something you have to do. And this is something parents, they figure out pretty soon. Young parents will almost always make a mistake. You know, once your kids turn like 2 and 3 and they start doing things, you know, that like where you know that they know better and you're mad when you see them do something and then you discipline them like kind of out of a passion. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's like a righteous anger, except you have to remember they're 2.
Right. Yeah. Okay?
And you're an adult, right? It's like, you're not, it's like, yeah, if another grown man had done that and you were doing something out of righteous anger, maybe, but,
right.
So like, yeah, having that discipline where you know, it's like, you're the one who has to be meek. Mm-hmm. So you're actually the one demonstrating meekness here by being calm and patient. You know, what I like to do is send the kids to the other room. Mm-hmm. And in just, you know, just that. So now I also have a space mm-hmm. between something happening and whatever I'm about to say or whatever, you know, discipline is about right. to take place. And which is good for me. And it just creates a better, more harmonious result.
Well, also, so encouraging the peaceful communication, like this is where, like, we're disciplining so that they can learn. Mm-hmm. And I have found that, like, I'm very weak at this a lot of times whenever things are chaotic, of like just wielding my authority because I'm dad, without actually explaining like why we're doing something, or mm-hmm. without being able to tell them like, listen, it's not me just wanting order. It's because I'm training you to try to be a saint. You know, I want right. you to be a saint. And it's the reason why this isn't working is because dad has a lot of deficiencies. You know, like the reason why this isn't working is because dad is not very good at this. Right. right. But like, I need to communicate this with you. And children cannot receive well if they think that you're angry or upset or whatever, like or you're screaming at them, or you're, you know, you're doing something like bad with them. Like, they can't understand like, why is this wrong?
Yeah. And I think ideally, you would explain to them, hey, here's what happened, like help them with the empathy.
Right.
Where you know, because children, they haven't learned to do this where, oh, you know, how do you think she felt when you did that to her or whatever? Mm-hmm. If you can get them to a point where they see and realize that they deserve the discipline that they're about to get, I think that's really the ideal, where they actually can see in whatever capacity that they have, depending on how old they are, that this discipline that they're receiving is just, mm-hmm. and that they themselves think, I deserve this. Mm-hmm. That is that's highly effective discipline and parenting right there. I mean, it's hard to do sometimes, especially depending on certain, like the temperament of your child, right?
Right. But,
that is something to strive for, at least. Whether you get there or not, it's still good to have those conversations beforehand.
Yeah. Next one. Blessed are they who mourn, the promise here, for they shall be comforted.
Yeah. So this is why every night before bed, I just spank all the kids just so they have an opportunity to mourn. It's really a gift.
Yeah. You're just really exercising the words of Jesus here. Yeah.
Just kidding.
Please don't call DHS.
Yeah, that was a joke, people.
Yeah. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The virtue here is obviously compassion. The general meaning here, comfort those in times of grief and loss. And so the family application is support one another during times of grief and other consolations and support. Now, I think this is a really difficult thing for parents to do. Here's why. We get very tied up and wrapped around the axle, so to speak, of the day-to-day grind that we have and all the duties that we have as parents, right? We have bills that we have to be paid. We have people to get, we have kids to get to one place to another. We have the frustrations between different employees that we work with. We have, you know, a relationship with our spouse that we have to uphold. We have, you know, the stock market, the political aspect. We have all these things that are kind of swarming around in the adult life that you have to take care of and order your day around. And these things are very important, right? Like we have to pay our bills. Right, we have to make sure that our
you do have to pay your bills.
Yeah, you have to pay taxes.
Yeah,
you know you do.
They will come for you.
Right, please pay your taxes. you have to cultivate and develop the relationship with your wife. Right, you can't just go through the day. Like you have to take care of the needs of your wife.
Right,
you do have to confront the tough things that you have to do at work. Like there's all these different things that are happening. Your kids have tough things that are happening as well, but
to them.
In your eyes, you're like, listen, it doesn't matter that she has the red crayon.
Right.
The blue crayon works.
Yeah, the insignificance of their problems sometimes makes you underappreciate the significance of their problems to them.
Right. And it's very easy to, like, or even like when they're in high school, it's like, listen, it doesn't actually matter that she's mad at you or he's mad at you. You guys aren't even going to be friends in like 3 years.
Right.
You know, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But to them, it does. Like, that's their life.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this. We'll keep going.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. Talking about family beatitudes from a book called The Well-Ordered Family by Connor Gallagher. I think Gallagher is an awesome name.
You do?
Yeah. Nice. Isn't it like the name of a gun or something? Isn't there a Gallagher gun?
Gatling.
That's a gun.
Yeah.
It was cool in its day.
Yeah.
It was, in fact, the coolest for a while.
It's very hot, actually.
Yeah. I mean, you shoot any gun enough times, it's going to get real hot.
Yeah. So we before the break, we were talking about the importance. So blessed are the they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The importance of not be like just because somebody else's problems is actually less significant in your eyes or your world doesn't mean it's less significant in theirs.
Correct. Yeah. And sometimes your children especially need this, but it's important to remember this for adults too, because sometimes these are the moments where conversion
can take place.
Or it's like the setting where someone can actually be converted. If you're the only one willing to hear their problem, then those are the kind of things where when you talk about and you hear people's conversion stories, sometimes you hear stuff like this, like, oh yeah, well, this guy, he was the only one who, as I was going through this dark period, he was the only one who cared about me. You know, right. He was the only one who was willing to, you know, he came over and helped me move. He's the only one who showed up, you know, whatever
right.
It is.
Right.
So we have to be willing to hear out these things. Kids, coworkers, you know.
Yeah, and what do we say, like, when we kind of, like, slough off to the kids, say, like, don't, like, listen, it's not that big of a deal. Like, to them it is. And so what are we training them to do? Is like, hey, listen, if I have a problem in my life, I'm not going to go to dad. Which is not what we want whenever they have actual, real problems.
And it doesn't mean you have to solve their problems.
No, you... Turns out, a lot of them just want to listen. Like, have right. You listen.
We have a saying here in the Niles household that goes, that sounds like a kid-sized problem that needs a kid-sized solution, which is code for go figure it out yourself. But they'll come to me.
That's what you say to your wife?
No, we say it to the kids.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't.
No, we say it in the Niles household. Pamela and I say it.
Okay.
To the kids.
Okay.
Not to each other.
Okay. Good.
I mean, I say it to her. No. You know, so they'll come. You have to hear their problem. Yep. valid, you know, like they want affirmation.
Right.
And then say, okay. Because really they don't, most of the time they don't care after that anyway.
Right.
They just want you to go, oh, I'm so sorry.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like when you kiss the boo-boo, like it doesn't make it feel better.
Dude, it totally does.
But what feels better,
science says it does.
What feels better is that like, oh, you affirmed my pain,
right,
or something.
They want to be seen. They want to be loved.
Yeah, because you watch them. It's like, you just fell down. Okay, you're a one-year-old. You're like 6 inches off the ground. Okay, and you like little bitty tumbled over and you started crying. I know for a fact that did not hurt. You have an emotional, it's like it was all emotional. And yes, I'll give you a hug because I think you're the cutest anyway, you know, right. But.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one is, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Here's the promise, for they shall be satisfied. The virtue here is justice. General meaning righteousness and a desire for justice.
I was thinking about Inigo Montoya when this comes along.
Yeah.
If I do it with my right hand over too quickly, cannot be satisfied. He was a man who hungered for justice as well.
Justice is not one that we really think about within the family household.
I think about it. I think about it all the time.
Well, I think you're not the normal guy.
Okay. But, you know, for instance, like one child hits the other one and it just bugs me. I think about it sometimes when I see other people's parenting. Okay. This I've seen this before. I've seen one child hit another child like on the head. The victimized child is crying. The parent of these two children comes over and they pick up the kid who just did the hitting in order to like talk to them. Meanwhile, you have this like poor child who's crying on the ground who you're not, it's like you just came over and rewarded the misbehaving child with physical attention because they were hitting this other person. And like you left the other one just sitting there on the ground crying. You're totally ignoring them, right?
Right.
You know, and then they'll like the punishments. I think parents are just sometimes too soft in their discipline.
Discipline,
right. So like you have one kid who got hit and the other kid like only had to sit in timeout. You know, like where's the justice in that?
Right.
And that sounds bad. I'm not saying you have to hit your kids, right? But there should be an order of justice in the family.
Yeah, so this is the family application. So here's what he says. He says, foster a thirst for justice, act with integrity, promote fairness and compassion within the family, and strive for moral and ethical living. And so I think this is what actually you're getting to, Dave, is the thing about order and discipline within your family is it has to be consistent. Justice
right.
thrives on, like, if it's this way at this time, it has to be this way at that time. Like, mm-hmm. Like if you're doing A over here, you have to do A over here. Like, if they're not acting right here and you respond this way, and the same act is done over here, and you're expected to respond the same way. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, disciplining, especially with children, is that, listen, if you hit a girl, you know, if you're a boy and you hit a girl, there's no question you're going to get in trouble. Like you're not getting out of getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about it and make sure you understand why you're getting in trouble. Make sure you understand why it's not good to hit a girl, but you're never going to get out of that. And right. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, the first boy or the third boy or the fifth boy, or, you know, it doesn't matter what order you are. It doesn't matter who you are as, you know, from what age group you are. You're going to, like, their justice has to be regulated the same way.
Correct. And I think, you know, without having to get too deep into this justice thing, I would encourage everybody. We did a great episode several years ago on retributive justice with our good friend Thomas Lackey. Our conversation was focused around the death penalty, but
it actually was only released on Patreon.
It's only on Patreon. So you get, oh man, that's too bad, because that was a really, really great episode. So if you're a patron,
or it's a good thing.
Well, if you should become a patron so you can listen to it.
There you go.
But
there it was.
It's a fantastic conversation. I feel like retributive justice, people have no idea what it is. And it's gotten such a bad rap, kind of for no reason, but throughout the whole church's history, retributive justice has been the goal we seek, right?
Right.
And so I don't want to get too into that because it's a big topic.
Yeah.
But
we'd upset a lot of people.
Go check that out on our Patreon page. If you're upset with it, upset about it, you have to take it up with Thomas Aquinas. I mean, that's the thing, because all we do is talk about what did Thomas Aquinas say about this? What have the church fathers said about it? How has the church handled this in the past, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's only like in the last 20 years that all of a sudden retributive justice suddenly is like not a good thing anymore.
So obviously with justice, there has to be mercy, right? Justice and mercy.
That is correct.
The next one is, blessed are the merciful. The promise is, for they shall obtain mercy. So the virtue being mercy, the general meaning, forgiveness and compassion towards others. Here's what he says about the family application. Teach forgiveness and kindness. Don't let the kids keep score over little things. Show mercy and understanding and cultivate a spirit of compassion. Like this is, so the not keeping score, like maybe that's not a big thing in your house, but I have four boys. Everything.
It's not like it is in your house.
Yeah, everything is a competition.
It's not a competition.
Everything is competition.
Do we keep different kinds of score about like, well, last time I let you go first, you know, it's not like a competition, but it's about, hey, whose turn is it? We have turns for, it's ridiculous. Like if we have a guest over for dinner, it's almost the equivalent of like having a UN ambassador and a peace treaty about who is going to get to sit next to the guest. And I always feel bad for the guest because they have no say in the matter, okay?
We invited them and they don't even know.
You will sit next to these two children. I'm sorry you don't get to sit next to an adult.
It's right.
Like, but that's, look, this was decided years ago in the Treaty of Versailles, or I don't, something, you know, I don't know. So we have that kind of thing, but we also have a phrase we use in our household, don't count. Okay. Mm. We say, oh, don't count. When we're talking about, oh, being generous to give without counting the cost. And so we use the phrase don't count as like a easy, quick, that the kids know all like what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Don't count. That we're giving without counting the cost, right? And if you were generous to your sibling, don't say next time, well, remember last time,
right?
Nope, don't count. That was a generous thing you did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we need to, because the thing is, if you want the reward for your generosity, it just needs to be a gift.
Right. No, this is, Dave, I think this is a phenomenal teaching of relationships not being transactional.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it carries into the spiritual life with God, even where it's like, listen, God, I gave you all this time. Like, I was expecting you to do this back and you didn't do it. Like, what happened? And it's like, no. You spend that time with God for the love of God.
Yeah. Was it a gift or wasn't it?
Right. And like, so the smaller things that you're talking about within the family teaches and forms them. I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
of course, all of these things don't matter if they don't see the same things coming from their parents.
That's right.
So if you as the parent are not modeling all of these things, you can try to enforce all these rules. It will be a waste of your time if they don't see you doing it first.
We have three more Beatitudes, but we're out of time on Catholic Radio. Go check us out on the podcast. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
Okay, so here's the next one. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Virtue being purity, meaning, you know, sincerity and purity and of intention. So the family application, he says, is encourage honesty and authenticity, no masks, and we're not talking about COVID masks. Teach, although, never mind, teach your kids.
I knew it.
Teach your kids that sincerity is better than insecure posturing.
That sincerity is better. Yeah.
Yeah. So how can you relate that to like planting the seeds of this that would help them grow in the virtue of purity for later on whenever they get hormonal crazy?
Yeah. I don't know. I was just thinking about this because Wait, are you talking? Are you on Mercy? Say that again.
I'm Pure Heart.
Okay, good. I was sitting here looking at the wrong line, going like, man, gosh,
I am just not connecting the dots.
Yeah, how
here.
Does this fit? Like,
no, for purity.
Okay.
So the family application again is encourage honesty and authenticity. No masks. Teach your kids that sincerity is better than insecure posturing. So this is here's what I think. And I'll to give you a second to think about this as well. But talking about pornography, like even to your young kids, now you talk about it in a different way, right? It's like, listen, if you ever see a picture of somebody that is exposing the things that are covered up by a bathing suit, you know, you need to let mom and dad know,
mm-hmm.
right? Like I'm not going to like shame you. I'm not going to, you know, there's no... disciplining in for that reason.
Will not be in trouble.
You will not be in trouble.
Right.
But you need to be sincere. You need to be honest with me. You need to let me know so we can take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's not the first thing that came to my mind. I think that conversation is critical and becomes more essential every day because year, like month by month, day by day, the average age of porn, like
just so sad.
Like you're the first age of pornography exposure
mm-hmm.
gets lower and lower. I mean, like, I don't remember exactly, but I think like last I heard it was like 9 or 8, you know, or even 7. I mean, it was like shockingly, I mean, this is the average. You're telling me this is average.
Right.
I mean,
this is because people have cell phones.
Right. Oh, totally. Right. And this is why you don't give a smartphone to a child. I am very adamant about that.
Dude, we got a home phone.
You did?
We have a home phone. Sweet. We now have a home phone.
I'm going to call it. I think, you know what? I actually think home phones are coming back.
Are they?
I think that they are.
We realized that, hey, we need to be able to, because there's times where, like, either I'm gone, mom may be up, or maybe mom's gone, dad's out in the shop, the kid is in charge of something inside the house.
Yeah.
I need to get a hold of them. Or like our oldest is getting old enough to leave, you know, at the, you know, by themselves for a little bit. And it's like, I need them to be able to call me.
This is a whole other conversation. But I think also cell phones have bred an over familiarity between the sexes. Okay. Like, you know, like, you and Pamela are, you know, like friends. Haley and I are friends. But like, a man ought not to be like really that close to another person, another man's wife. Okay.
Right.
He's friends with him mm-hmm. and she is his wife. And it's like throughout every, like all of time, it has been this way where men are friends, adult men are friends with men.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, you know, you have like a, you know, it's like, I know you, we're friends with, you know, these women, but not in a familiar way,
right?
Where I would be like calling them on a private cell phone number. Right.
Right.
And so, but with, you know, home phones are gone. It's like, oh, if I need to ask Haley a question, I have no way to do it, but to call her, where in the past you would just simply call the resident number. And you can see the difference between calling the household
mm-hmm.
where you have no idea who's going to answer. Could be you. And I'm just like, hey, I need to ask Haley a question. You know, like mm-hmm. It's just a much more public form of communication than a private. Anyway, it's whole rabbit hole. And it sounds silly until you start thinking about.
Totally agree. In fact, like
over time, how that tends to change the way we communicate.
Outside of like Pamela and Joan, pretty much like, and I,
Juan's wife.
And I don't.
Do you mean Mrs. Posada? See, like the fact that we use first names, even, you know, used to, it's like, oh, you're not Haley, you're Mrs. Minahan. And even, like me as a man, I would never, like, maybe in, like, if for at a dinner party, you know, if everyone's at your house, you might, and there's no children around, you know, and everybody is intimate with each other, you might use first names. But in public, you would, at church, you're never going to call Pamela.
Right.
She's Mrs. Niles, right?
Um, Yeah.
And they're just, there's the thing about that is there's respect and decorum built into it. Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah, and I wouldn't, I very rarely text Pamela or Joan.
Yeah.
And like, and when I do, it's typically something that's like, I'm trying to do something for Dave or for Juan, and I need you to help me do it.
Yeah.
But typically, if you do need it, this is something that, you know, Vice President Pence, like, got blasted for. It's like, he wouldn't go to a lunch by himself with another woman.
Right.
That was not his wife. If you're trying to, like, communicate with them, like, you should probably bring in the husband. So, like, a lot of times if there's another person that I'm trying to get a hold of, I will text message both of them and be like...
Yes. Yeah, so I do that, too. It's like, oh, if I'm going to text... Like, the other day, I was sending a picture from the when we slaughtered the hog. Mm-hmm. I had a picture of our friends, the Gabriels, one of their little boys standing next to this pig we had just cut in half. And I was going to send it to Mrs. Gabriel, Becky, because, you know, women are the ones who keep pictures. Mm-hmm. But I didn't, I copied both of them just so that.
It's a good habit to be.
Yeah, it's just a good habit. And not that there's anything wrong or, you know, it's like,
right.
It would have been no problem for me to just send it to her. But it's.
Plus, Mark would beat you up.
Yeah, if he wanted to.
He's younger than us.
He's much younger and. Like, he runs marathons and stuff, which is dumb.
No one's even chasing him, and he's running.
I have no idea why people run a marathon. It's like, look, bro, I don't know what you got to prove.
Okay,
so I'm over here. So I'm over here just sitting on the couch feeling great about myself, I'll tell you.
Sloth. Okay.
It's not what it is. It's exhaustion.
All right, so here's the next one.
But let's back up, because I didn't say what I was going to say about authenticity.
Say what you need to say.
I'm just going to say what I need to say. I was just going to say, it's you need to focus on, with your kids, especially young kids, getting them to express how they actually feel. Okay? Sometimes that's hard for kids to do because they're either afraid they're going to be in trouble.
And they don't even know how they feel a lot of times.
Sometimes they don't. And
that's the problem. Is like,
yes.
And they'll be crying. It's like, why are you crying? I don't even know.
Which is very rarely the case. You know why you're... It's like, don't give me that. Okay? You know good and well. Why you're crying. You're crying because I caught you doing, you know, most of the time, you know exactly what it is. And so, but it is important for them to learn to express themselves and to have the confidence to say how they feel about something. And so you do have to promote an openness, try to promote an environment where the kids feel like they can say how they feel about something, where they're not going to be in trouble for expressing an opinion. Or,
yeah,
you know,
totally. Okay, so here's the next one. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Virtue, charity, which I thought would be peace. I thought, like, but I guess, anyway, charity. General meaning, reconciliation and harmony in relationships. Here's the family application. Teach your kids to lose. This is one that I thought was really interesting. Teach your kids to lose arguments out of charity. For the first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
I guess I have to learn that first.
Dude, turns out you have a strong opinions.
As it turns out, I do. Yeah, I mean, like, gosh, teach your children to lose arguments out of charity. That's a heavy lift. I mean, how many adults have the, like, spiritual wherewithal and, like, gumption, the spiritual strength to do that. That is tough to do.
Yeah.
You know? I can think of, like, oh, yeah, I've kind of done that before on, like, little things that don't matter. You know, like, sometimes I'm just really trying to end a conversation with somebody. Right. You know, it's like, oh, maybe, okay, yeah, well, maybe you're right. No, okay, I'll have to look into that. Okay, very interesting.
I didn't realize you were so stupid.
Yeah.
I want to end this conversation.
But, if you can teach your children to do that, you know, the thing is, kids don't argue. They have disagreements a lot. But when it comes to actually, like, a real argument, where they're actually expressing, like making an argument for a position, you know, almost as if it's a debate. They don't really do that. So most of the time it's just yelling about, that's mine, no it isn't. You
so
know
so here, here's the example that I thought of, is that, you know, your older kid is in a scuffle with your a very younger kid, and you just tell him, like, hey, just give it to him, or just let him have it. Mm-hmm. Just let him win. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're holding on to this for no reason. Yep. Just allow him to win. There's a difference, though, in that, which is just succumb to the moment. Just give up.
Yeah.
Which is not a virtue.
It would be a fake sort of peace.
Right. Other than, like, hey, out of love, just, you know, let him have it.
Yeah. Saying, yeah, sort of, even just couching it differently.
Yeah.
You know that you're right.
Right.
But your little brother is 2 years old.
Right.
And he is not able to understand that you're right. He only knows that he wants it. Would you just give it to him?
Right.
To be
I
nice?
Want to do a whole episode. This is something that I've been thinking about.
We'll see you guys.
Peace. And the Beatitudes. And I want to do an episode on it once I finally kind of get my thoughts together. But, you know, okay, what is peace? Peace is the tranquility of order. What is tranquility? That's a whole nother topic that I would like to go down as a point, but let's just say tranquility of order is what Aquinas says. Tranquility of order. So blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who obtain order.
I brought the tranquility with me today, brah. I'm here to make some peace.
Anyway, I would like to go down that road of understanding, like, if the definition of peace is the tranquility of order, and Christ is asking people to be, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. So really that means, like, blessed are those who create order.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I think that everybody can be a peacemaker, but I also think that everybody knows one or two people, like in your friend group, or, you know, you've known somebody who has a particular gift for this. You know, who's like, oh man, yeah, back in college when things, like, if so two people started, like, this was always the guy who somehow had the ability
to diffuse
to just
situation.
Diffuse this, like, yeah. It was just a presence, he was just good at it.
Chris Davis.
Yeah, I know, I was thinking him too. Yeah. He was good at that. But yeah, you know, like, so if that's you, should really think about that gift you have.
Yeah.
And what does that mean for the vocation? For, you know, like, that obviously has some ramifications for your vocation or whatever, you know? So.
Right. Okay, so here's the last one. How long are we here right now?
A little over an hour.
Okay. So here's the last one. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, like, here's, like, I don't know, how do I actually bring that into a family aspect? That's one I don't think about a lot, I should say.
Yeah.
Virtue being fortitude. The general meaning is perseverance and finding strength in times of adversity.
Yeah, you know, I don't ever, you're right. These situations don't arise, but, you know, you and I, Adam, we live in like a bubble. I can imagine if our kids, if your kids go to a public school, then maybe they're, like, certainly the opportunity for persecution might be more common, right? So if your kids are in an environment where it's not like an all Catholic all the time environment, mm-hmm. you know, then, oh, maybe, you know, because, you know, you've been raising your kids with certain values, maybe that does actually cause them to be persecuted for the sake of righteousness.
Yeah, and so here's what he says. So here's what he says for the family application. He says, teach resilience in the face of challenges. Support one another during difficult times. Find strength in faith and grow through suffering. So here's what I think that we should be doing is, like, when your children have the courage, like, kids at some point in time will have the courage to do something, to stand up for what they think is right. Like, you'll just see it happen. Like, I don't know, whether you're young or older, like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, they just stood up for that. And you need to, like, reward that. You need to like acknowledge that and praise that and like support that so that they have the confidence to continue doing it.
Right.
I mean, one of the examples that I always go back to when I think about something like this is one of our neighbors in our old neighborhood. The kids were playing together and I was just kind of out there and I heard one of my boys just say like, well, why aren't you Catholic? You should be Catholic. And he's like, well, I don't believe in God. And he's like, well, you should believe in God. Why would you not believe in God? Like, and like, he like confronted this confrontational moment, and not in a debating way, like I'm right, you're wrong, but like more of like, you could tell he was like, well, why would you not? Like, I'm concerned almost. Like, it's more of a out of concern or out of love.
Mm-hmm.
Those moments, like,
sounds like that's a great moment.
Yeah, and so like you should like reward that. You should like promote that.
You're getting ice cream tonight, son.
Yeah, of course. I had ice cream that night. That's the thing about it. But dad is like, when your kids are virtuous, then like, I mean, you get rewarded.
He had ice cream, but I had a lot of ice cream.
So,
well, I like that. That's I think there is a lot to think about. You know, you could spend a lot of time on just these two pages we've been going over here, this chart.
Yeah, and there's over 240 pages in the book.
Very good. I like it.
Well-Ordered Family by Connor Gallagher. I'd like to have him on the show at some point. Like, it'd be great to have him on. Anyway, it's cool. Yeah, well-ordered book. The Family Management System.
I dig it.
So, anyway, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Let's go clip some chickens.
Let's do it.